Good morning and welcome to the Vines United Church this morning. Whether you're here in our cafe style gathering or whether you're watching us online now or sometime during the week, we just pray that God will bless you through this service. Before we start, I'd like to welcome Sue Ellis, our former moderator of the United Church. She will be bringing our message today. Also, as we are in cafe church style, if at any time during the service if you would like to make a cup of coffee or whatever, please go and make yourself one. Also, I'm not going to make you stand for any of the hymns. I will ask you to stand once, but if you feel you want to stand for the songs or whatever we're doing, please feel free. Our call to worship this morning. Come, let us bring our whole selves to this place. Let us bring our joys and our fears, our highs and our lows. Let us bring all our cares, big and small, and lay them at the table in worship.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
us this morning as we come to you in worship. In Jesus' name we pray.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for that very warm welcome and wonderful worship. It's great to be here at the Vines again with you. I live at Aberfoyle Park, so it's a real joy to worship here this morning. It's not very far to have to go. I could have a bit of a sleep in this morning. And I bring to you greetings from the Noarlunga Uniting Church, which is where I normally worship and where I'm also leading a building project, which has, of course, been delayed by rain this week. Never mind, that's got other blessings, hasn't it? And I also bring you greetings from the Uniting Church Fellowship and Mission Support Committee, of which I am the chairperson. And I'll be speaking a little bit more about that during our sermon later on today. But I'm going to bring you a story today, and you're going to take part in that story, because on the screen will appear words, and it's a story about how to pray, because our service today is about the Lord's Prayer. So, and this is going to be like a little bit of a pretending that we're with Jesus on the road, where our story is in Luke at the moment as we're growing in our discipleship, is his journey to Jerusalem, to the Passover feast. And along the way, all the stories that we hear in the lectionary are taking place on that road. So, let's start the story. One day, Jesus' disciples said,
"Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? John taught his disciples how to pray."
"Well," Jesus said, "praying is a very special thing. It's a chance to talk to God without other things getting in the way. When you pray, it's good to talk, and it's good to listen too. That way you can know what God might be wanting of you."
"But how can we do that?"
they asked. "When you pray, you should include these things," Jesus said. "First of all, start thinking about God. Who is God? How do you imagine God? You should start there. If God is like your father, you should say, 'Dear Father.' If you imagine God to be like a shepherd, you might start with, 'Shepherd God.' If you imagine God like your mother or a friend, you might start that way. Whatever you call God, celebrate it. Say something like, God, my friend, I love you. Or, Heavenly Father, you are holy. Then Jesus added, you should pray for the most important thing of all.
What's that?
They asked. You should pray for God to do God's work, Jesus said. Prayer isn't about giving God a list of things you want. No, it's really saying, God, you know much more than we do. You know how to make things right. Please do that and show us how to help. After all, if you knew what was best, you wouldn't really need God, would you? And the disciples laughed. Oh, you're great at laughing here. Next, ask God to give you what you need. No more, no less. Don't ask that just for yourself either. Ask that for everyone. Another thing is to ask God to forgive you. No matter who we are, we all do things that can separate us from God. But God is eager to forgive us, to help us start again with a new beginning. However, Jesus added, you have to forgive others too. It's really hard to ask God to forgive you when you're holding a grudge. Last of all, ask God to keep you out of temptation. We all want to do our own thing, but God wants us to work together, to help make God's will come alive here on earth. So ask for God's help in that.
Could you teach us such words?
They asked. Oh, I don't think so, Jesus said. Things will change, and you'll have different things to talk about to God from time to time. Just remember that no matter what, whenever you want to talk to God, God will be listening for you. Thanks. Excellent participation. Jackie is going to bring us the first part of our reading.
So part one, Luke 11, verses 1 to 8, Jesus teaching on prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need.
I'm going to invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, but with a song that captures some of Luke's words. God our Father, let your kingdom come.
Thank you.
Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
As a Uniting Church member in covenant with the Congress, I just pause to acknowledge that it is the Kaurna people's land on whom we meet today. I wonder if you've ever seen a persistent child in a supermarket or shop who really wants a lolly at the checkout. Has that ever happened to you with your children and grandchildren? You know, they can be very persistent, can't they? You know, even to the point of the tantrum, which is really embarrassing. And, you know, if mum doesn't give in, they'll often turn to dad and do the play off the parents against one another routine, you know, how that goes. So I wonder, can we wear God down, getting God to do something that at first glance was against God's better judgment? What kind of God would that be? Giving in to the most persistent lobbyist, the squeakiest wheel, the child with the tantrum. I wonder what you think. What sort of God would that be? Just at your tables, just have a little buzz and talk to one another. What sort of God do you think that would be? I'll give you a couple of minutes. I hope the people at home are thinking about this as well. What sort of things do you think? What's come from your table? This table. Did anyone have an idea? They're not sure. Anyone have any ideas at all what sort of God that would be?
Yeah, if God was like that, we would become incredibly arrogant and filled with pride.
Arrogant. It'd make us arrogant and filled with pride, is some comment. Any other comments?
Very weak.
A very weak God.
Unusual.
Sorry?
Unusual.
A very unusual God. Yeah, okay. That's interesting comments. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? So not knowing exactly what God is like, a disciple asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And he first gives them verses from what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Then he tells them a story about a man who wakes up a friend at midnight asking him for bread for a late visitor. And the friend at first refuses and then gives in because of his neighbour's persistence. By analogy, that does sound a bit like we can get God to change his mind if we keep knocking and pestering. But there's something else going on here. First of all, God is our very best friend. God is like a loving parent to Jesus. Jesus calls him Father. Luke 11, verse 2, Father, may your name be revered as holy. Jesus calls him Father. God is not an enemy or an abusive parent to be feared. God is like a father who gives his children good things, Jesus tells us. Life-giving things. He doesn't give a snake when asked for a fish. He doesn't give a scorpion if asked for an egg. So this message, and this is the first test of my technology. This message here is the approachability of God. We can be telling our needs to God by day and night, even at midnight, knowing that God is always there for us. God doesn't consider it an imposition. God is not ignorant of our needs. In fact, we may very well be the ignorant ones. And this is why in the Lord's Prayer we say, give us each day our daily bread. Bread stands in for any of those needs that we may have, like the need for a job, or purposeful life, our health, better relationships, our need for inner peace, strength to cope with what life throws at us. But in the Lord's Prayer, we don't spell out the specifics of what we need. We may very well be ignorant of them, but God is not. God knows what it is we need, and we can go to God at any inopportune time. We are never wearing God down. God likes to listen to us. Talking to God is like pillow talk between lovers. God not only loves us, but God likes us. In the end, God is for what is best for us, which is not necessarily that which we are asking. So prayer is primarily talking with God, sharing with God how we understand our deepest needs, and trusting that God will do what will benefit us and grow us in love as his people. And we might wonder if our prayers will get answered. Well, let me tell you that not even Jesus got all of his prayers answered. In Gethsemane, this picture, he prayed, do you remember? Let this cup of suffering be taken from me. It wasn't. Instead, he was given courage and strength for the great ordeal he had to face. We might think that God is not listening or answering when all we get back from our persistent prayer is silence. Well, friends, I think that the first language of God is silence. God's voice is described as the sound of sheer silence in the story of Elijah hiding in a cave in 1 Kings chapter 19, where it says, "The Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a sound of sheer silence." We can learn to speak the language of silence too. After we've poured out ourselves to God, then comes the silence that begins with listening. And from the listening comes the presence of the Holy Spirit, bringing to us hope, faith, comfort, love from God. And sometimes a sign of God's kingdom being for us. Or a thought might pop into her head as a way forward. There have been many times when I've poured out a trouble to God. Many, many times. And I've struggled with the action I was going to take. When out of the blue, a willy wagtail has appeared to me. Now, the willy wagtail has always been a special bird to me. To me, it feels like it's been a sign from God that God gives me now and then. Because when the willy wagtail appears, I feel an unusual closeness to God. And I feel a sense of God being with me. It was reassuring for me when the Kaurna people told me that the willy wagtail is considered a messenger bird. A messenger bird. But don't get too many willy wagtails because it means it's bad news coming. Probably down at Alberton last night. Anyway, it's always a sign to me of God hearing me and reassuring me. Now, perhaps you've had an experience of a sign from God at times, a sign that's made you feel secure and reassured and close to God in hard times. If you've ever had that sort of sign happen to you, I wonder if you'd like to maybe just ask one another if that's been your case at your table and share a sign. And people at home can be thinking about what sort of things, what signs to you indicate that God is present to you. Just spend a moment doing that at your tables. What sort of signs have you had that God is with you? Physical signs.
Thank you.
I've just had a sign come to me. Someone just gave me my glass of water, knowing that my throat was getting dry. I think that's a sign of God caring for me. So, is there something that someone's heard? Did you hear someone? Did anyone hear someone share a sort of a sign at your table? Did someone hear someone else's sign that they could share with us?
Share as a young person at a youth camp.
At a youth camp?
There was a quiet time when we had to go away by ourselves.
Yes, a quiet time.
And it was a dark night with a lot of clouds. As I'm sitting there watching, gradually all the stars disappeared until there was one star.
Oh, wow. What a fabulous thing. And that gave you a real sense of God being present to you as a young person at youth camp. Amazing things happen at youth camp, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those of us can still remember our youth. It's a long time ago for some of us. And it's in the silence, interestingly, in the silence that happened. For some time, I've been chairperson of the Fellowship and Mission Support Committee of the Synod of South Australia. And this was a committee formed in 2018 to bring together several aspects of seniors' ministries. And this is the current committee as it stands. We're mainly women, as you will see, but from the days of fellowship. But we have a series of groups that have been brought together, but that were previously held by support groups of their own, of people who were very interested in missional work, who met regularly and undertook fundraising and ran events. And as the committees dwindled because of ageing, the discovery was made that much of the membership were the same people, and the decision was taken to bring them together into fellowship and mission support, a part of the mission resourcing unit. So I was asked to be the voluntary chairperson and bring functionality and governance to this new committee structure, which has oversight of all these ministries: Red Dove Cafe, Sally Stamp, Packing Days, Together Magazine, the International Mission Op Shop currently operating out of Woodville Uniting Church, a bequest portfolio of $300,000 plus, and connection to all the fellowship and other seniors groups. And I was asked to create missional projects and events. That's for my spare time as a retiree. So after much prayer and a heck of a lot of listening, I agreed. Because, you see, all these ministries reflect responses to the persistent knocking on the door for bread, for life. Every year, Fellowship and Mission distributes over $70,000 worth of mission donations from its fundraising and resources. Every Uniting World appeal, every Act for Peace appeal, every letter from Nonyalinga College or the Mwandi Feeding Program, from Uniting Care, from rural churches doing it tough in drought, flood or bushfire, every letter is welcomed and responded to with a gift of resourcing on behalf of our synod. Every need of our bush chaplains that the Sydney office cannot supply, like a new caravan fridge for Sonny Kadaparambil and his wife Eva, or chairs for the Urnadatta Congress Church, we give or we organise and appeal for resources from fellowships and congregations. I created the Polkinghorn Oration in response to the Synod Climate Action Plan and to help create education and awareness of the effects of climate change caused by Western developed nations' lifestyles upon the world, and in particular on the Pacifica region to which the Uniting Church responds, as well as our own food production and coastal living sustainability. Because all of this work is God's mission. In response to the prayers of the people from Tonga or Vanuatu after earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, from Fiji and Tuvalu and Kiribati as their coastlines and villages are claimed by the sea. From Papua New Guinea, when the roof of their theological college blows off, or they run out of the Sunday school books written by our own Jenny Charlesworth here in South Australia. Any prayer where people are asking for help from God causes us to wake up and find a bequest or find a fundraiser that they may be helped and the prayer responded to. This year is a celebration of the Uniting Church being a multicultural church for 40 years. But do we hear people of other cultures knocking on our very Anglo-South Australian church doors with good news for the Uniting Church? Or are we so embedded in the European version of the gospel that we just turn over in our comfortable bed? Do we even hear the Congress of our First Nations peoples knocking on our doors? It is easy for us to call out, "I am comfortable in bed asleep. Come back later." Better still, see if the government will give you a grant or help you. We only have enough bread for our own needs anyway. But then doesn't Jesus say, "Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened." The work of Fellowship and Mission Support has helped make those truths real in today's world. As mentioned, one of my leadership projects has been the Polkinghorne Oration in honour of our South Australian missionaries, Brian and Jill Polkinghorne, who served in Tanzania for over 30 years in sustainable and climate change-ready agricultural projects and in preschool education. In 2023, the Reverend James Bhagwan gave the initial oration, challenging the audience to hear the Pacific prayers around the injustice of climate change forced on countries least equipped to do something about it by richer developed nations. He has been a persistent voice for the Pacific at international COP meetings, the United Nations Climate Change Forums, and South Australia has bid to host the 26 or 7 gathering of COP number 31. That'll be a great time in South Australia. Expect lots of protests. This year, on the 16th of October, the Reverend Tim Costello will bring the Polkinghorne Oration on the topic, "The Challenge of Our Times, Climate Change in the Context of a Culture in Crisis." I recently attended an international rural conference in Fiji to hear how Pacific Island nations, with cultures dependent on the sea and market gardening for daily food and plantations for cash crop exports, were faring. I'm sure that you have heard of the impact of rising sea levels on the coral atolls of Kiribati and Tuvalu. A person from Tuvalu shared that the Australian government is offering resettlement visas for a limited time, and a group from one village being swamped by rising seas applied. That's a very generous offer by the Australian government, isn't it? And at the time, a number of people from this village in Tuvalu had applied and been successful and been relocated because their village, their life, was not sustainable anymore. Their village was being lost to the sea. Well, this island-cultured people were settled at Griffith in New South Wales. Do you know where Griffith is? It's 500 kilometres from the sea. For an islander Moana people, sea people, who have a significant relationship with the sea, as significant as our first peoples have with the land, whose very identity is tied up with the sea, while this was a generous offer, it was a massive culture shock. It was too much of a culture shock for some. And they've sought to move away to places closer to the sea, which is where they identify their being with the sea. And of course, we know how much real estate costs near the sea. Pacific Islander guest workers who travel to Australia and Aotearoa, New Zealand, as part of the Palm Worker Scheme, suffer culture shock too, and they need support. They can be exploited by less than honest workplaces, even though their work conditions and pay is equal under Australian law. The opportunity to earn money and send home to families and village communities is highly desirable, but it comes with a great sacrifice. It comes with cultural separation, leaving women to raise children without fathers, and men feeling lonely in a foreign, secular society when your Christian way of life is prevalent everywhere. It requires working on Sundays, which is when people always go to church in their culture. There are many persistent prayers from our Pacific neighbours. As I hear these stories and the stories of other places, it seems to me that the prayer with the deepest need is the prayer of the poorest person. And by poor, I mean the person least able to change the circumstances impacting their own sustainability of life. The ones who feel tremendously vulnerable and who are powerless to do anything about it. This is the prayer that I think the Spirit carries to wherever there are resources for help for daily bread. To countries like Australia and organisations like Uniting World, Act for Peace, Uniting Church Congregations, and Fellowship and Mission Support. Prayers for food, prayers for shelter, prayers for medicine, education, self-sufficiency programs. I think all of those prayers carry more weight than my humble prayer from my warm bed, "O Lord, make that needy person go away. Send them to someone else. There is too much need for me to help everyone anyway." Seventeen 1,700 people died in the worst ever Punjabi monsoonal floods in 2022. 670 were children. Nearly 13,000 were injured. One third of the country went underwater. And 900,000 homes were destroyed. Over a million others damaged. The Church of North India requested help because the floods were inundating their region too, and people had nowhere to go for help because the Indian government had called a new national COVID lockdown at the time. No aid could reach the region and people could not get out. It was a time like that in Gaza today. Homes destroyed, no food, no clean water, no sanitation, no medicine, no hope. In this case, it was rain, water and despair. Uniting World was able to arrange, through the Church of North India's bishop, a small delegation and much needed Australian aid of food, water and medicine to be delivered into some of the worst affected areas. One boatload of aid was greeted by a Pakistani Muslim man who said this: "For weeks we have prayed and prayed to God for someone to come and help us, and no one came. We had given up hope and thought we had been left to die. And then I wondered, would the Christians come? And you have. You have come. Our prayers have been answered. God has not abandoned us." Yes, we must care for each other. We must fulfil our vision, our mission to the neighbourhood in which we live. But let me remind you today that we are also a part of the worldwide church that is growing rapidly. It's growing in Asia and Africa and is expected to reach 3 billion people in the next 25 years. God hears persistent prayers for help. Persistent prayers are powerful prayers. The Holy Spirit carries those prayers to listening ears. When a church congregation hears the news of prayers from the Holy Spirit, it is an invitation to Jesus' followers to get up from comfortable warm beds and respond. And when they do, the world soon learns that there is a way of living that comes from knowing and serving a man called Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and rose again. And many then realise that they too can share in that way by receiving Jesus into their life and following his ways. And that all begins with persistent prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that even though we don't know how to ask, you know how to answer. Even though we don't know how to receive, you delight in giving us yourself. Even though we don't know where to seek, you make yourself known. Even when we cannot find you, you find us. That even though our knock is timid, you open the door with joy. Father God, hear our prayer. Receive our thanks. Welcome us into the kingdom of your Son and help us to be answers to the prayers of the needy. Amen. I invite the musicians to return. They're going to lead us as we sing together, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God."
We're going to sing "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." We're going to do it as a round. Now the way this is going to work is the men will sing first. And we will sing all the way through, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, blah, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah." At the end of that, the men were going to sing the hallelujah, and the ladies will follow Jen and Shel and sing "Seek ye first." And we'll do it that way as a round. So while the ladies are singing the verse, the men are singing the hallelujah, and vice versa. Let's hope I explained that well enough and that we can follow.
The men start.
Men start and only men.
These things will be added unto you.
Thank you, Sue, for this morning's worship experience. I think it's been very special. As we come to our prayers for others, I remind you that if you have specific needs for which you would appreciate prayer this morning, just please come to the front after the end of the service and Sue or one of the elders or somebody else will be more than happy to pray with you. So let us now pray. God of Christ Jesus, the task of loving every neighbour as we love ourselves has become too big for us. The world is now too small, the population too large, the burden of its evil and misery too enormous. God of all, the clamour of this world's injustice and suffering is too much with us. Its cries hurt our ears. Sad faces haunt our eyes. Images of starving men, women, and children confront us. And even in our small corner of the world, we are faced with people sleeping without shelter or comfort, homeless, in cars, on the street, and young people so very young, so lost they resort to criminal activities. And the idea of caring for the neighbour next door seems to have disappeared in the haze. It seems to be all about self-preservation and every person for themselves. How terribly sad, gracious God, because this is not how it is meant to be. Please, Lord, soften hard hearts and bring your peace to bear that there might be change for good. We pray that you will open our eyes and ears to the cries of those about us who are doing it tough right now. Please give us insight as to how best we can bridge the gap and make life just a little easier. Lord God, from amongst the multiplicity of things that need to be done, help us to recognise what we are able to do and to do them well. By your unlimited love and untimed patience, bring nearer the day when justice shall roll down like waterfalls and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Thank you that those who focus their faith on you, who find their security in you, do not live in fear. They are not left untouched by the tempests of life, and they may be wounded by the onslaughts of evil, but you have promised to never leave us to face things alone, and that promise sustains us when things around us crumble. We pray for those who are in difficult situations at this time, challenges of health, relationships, and numerous other situations, that they might find the strength and courage to overcome the ravages of their circumstances and find your peace. And Lord, we thank you for the precious rain which has saturated parts of our country in the last week and brought hope to those farmers who provide food for the rest of us. And we thank you for those wonderful people who have brought relief from far distant parts of the country to provide food for the livestock. May you bless them for their generosity. For each person here today, Lord, we would ask a blessing. Help us to be ever mindful of those around us who are struggling. Help us to look upon the community with your compassion and love, and to be those who make a difference. When we are worried, Lord, teach us to pray. When things frighten us, Lord, teach us to pray. When others are hurting, Lord, teach us to pray. When we want to thank you, Lord, teach us to pray. When we don't understand what is happening in our world, Lord, teach us to pray. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened for you." God does the giving. God will open the door, but sometimes we forget that God works through us. God grows the kingdom using our hands and resources. We're going to have a time of offering, gathering the offering. And as we do that, we'll be singing a song, "Yet Not I, But Christ." But as you sing and give, I invite you to consider, what doors are you being invited to open for someone else? What gift are you giving that may answer the need of another?
What gift of praise is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Through Christ in me. Through Christ in me.
Let us dedicate our offering. Lord Jesus, from the bounty that you have blessed us with, we offer these gifts here and those already given, and we pray once more that your will may be done upon the earth. Through the things we offer and through our daily living, may your kingdom come to be lived, known, and felt through every corner of the world. Amen.
One thing we haven't done yet is given notices, and we've got some interesting notices today. Interesting in that the way community comes together, and I'll explain that in a moment. First of all, home aloneness. On Tuesday week, they'll be heading down to Christie's Beach Hotel to speak to Bob Stone if you are interested in joining them. Is Bob here today? No, he's not here today. Catch up with Bob, and it's... Yeah, Bobby also, and all Bob Manson. So, the big thing I have to say, about 10 months ago, we started a ministry, Pantry 152, and it has grown quite dramatically. We're helping lots and lots of people. The electoral office of Amanda Rishworth has had a winter appeal, and they have generously donated to Pantry 152, a large amount of grocery items, as well as some winter clothes like socks, scarves, beanies. Now this has really boosted our pantry items, and we'd just like to thank Amanda heaps for doing that. That's a wonderful thought. Also, next Sunday afternoon, we have the Vines Variety Afternoon. If you want to come and have some fun with singing, games, jokes, I assume. He says, looking at our biggest joker in the business. I believe it's a gold coin donation to come in. Stop in Pantry 152, is it? Supporting that? Yeah. And the proceeds will support Pantry 152. And David has a special one.
I do. Come down here. The church council, a couple of meetings back, decided that on these Sundays when we have Cafe Church, to honour a ministry of the church, and we did that last time, and we're going to do it again today. And today we would like to honour Creative Connection. Now, it's my understanding that Creative Connection has been going pretty much since this building was built. Is that right, Carolyn? Yep, she's nodding her head, which is about 30 years, isn't it? So that's a long time and a consistent ministry of service to people from beyond the community and from within the community. It's a ministry that focuses on friendship, skills to learn and share, think spots, pastoral care, tea and coffee. What's life without tea and coffee? There's always a risk doing something like this that someone might get missed out. So I'm only going to mention one name, but before I do that, if you've had involvement with Creative Connection in some kind of leadership or, you know, indulging and sharing and helping in Creative Connection, would you please put your hand up? I won't get you to stand. Look at that. Keep them up. Just everybody have a look around. And in honouring you people, I think, you know, it's good to understand that what we do in our ministries is serving others. And we're bringing the love of Christ and the wisdom of Christ and the gifts that he's given us to the community. And we can multiply that over and over again. But this morning, we're doing that just for creative connection. And so the one name I want to mention is Varel. Varel's been a powerhouse, I think, behind creative connection. So Varel, for your faithfulness and willingness and, you know, keeping going over all these decades, thank you. And we honour you for that. Yeah, come on. So I'd like to pray for creative connection. We can pray. Would you join me as we pray for creative connection? Lord God, we praise you and thank you for the life and the ministry that is the Vines Church. And in particular, Lord, we thank you this morning for creative connection, for Varel and her team, for all that they've done across many years, the people from whom they have drawn creativity. Your life in us, helping us to do the things that we've been created to do, with joy, with fun, with laughter, with tea, with coffee, and in every other way that creative connection works. And so again, Lord, we thank you for that ministry and pray that your blessing will continue to be very much part of what is done here on these Thursday mornings, and that lives will continue to be touched and blessed and empowered. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Our last song this morning is an old hymn. The last two words of it are "Living Lord," and he's living in us today. But the theme of the service has been prayer, and I'd just like to read the words to the second verse before we sing it. It says, "Lord Jesus Christ, now and every day, teach us how to pray, Son of God. You have commanded us to do this in remembrance, Lord, of you. Into our lives your power breaks through, living Lord." If you're able, please stand and sing this last hymn.
Thank you.
Friends, try to pray the Lord's Prayer every day this week. Pray it while you're walking, exercising, doing the dishes, or in a quiet moment. And think about what each phrase means for your life as you pray it. On the screen is a question for you to consider as you have your morning tea at your tables, sharing a story of persistent prayer and how it was answered. Go into the world and be persistent in your prayer. And may Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.